Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus and Lazarus. When he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and as always, calling all Canadians back to the Bible, the Word of God. It is the infallible, inerrant, living, and powerful Word. And I ask you to go to the book of John to read the history of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then go to the book of Romans, where you will get the explanation, the exposition of these things, where you will be able to answer the how and the why, where Jesus died for sinners. Today we're coming to the question, how to glorify God in sickness? And I trust that you will know how to pray, how to trust in the Lord when you are in need physically. May the Lord guide us in his word today.
So we should aim that in our sickness that we have a spirit of contentment, a spirit of acceptance. I don't know why the Lord is leading me through this, but I'm trusting and I'm using every means that God might you honor, that I may seek restoration of health. And then in the midst of that, there is the ministry of encouragement. And this is all from this answer in the larger catechism, question 135. And it speaks of charitable thoughts, love, compassion, meekness, gentleness, kindness, peaceable, mild and courteous speeches and behavior, forbearing, readiness to be reconciled, patient, bearing and forgiving of injuries, and requiting good for evil, comforting and succoring the distressed, and protecting and defending the innocent. And so you can see that that has a wide application. That would certainly apply to family members. And when there's illness in the family, the encouragement, the compassion of family members is so vital. Likewise with doctors and nurses, you want to have that compassion. Likewise amongst fellow Christians, we must care, we must show support and give encouragement. And just to send a card or a Bible text, or to let the person know we're praying for you, or drop in for a short visit and offer a little encouragement. This is all the Lord's way of strengthening the weak, the sick, and supporting them in their needs. And as we go through this pandemic, it also is our duty as Christians to not injure another Christian with having them infected by letting down our guard or doing things that are unsafe. And so this whole attitude of preserving life gives us the right attitude when we deal with this COVID-19. And the last thing we ought to do is to put people at risk, cause injury or infection, and all the misery that that brings, and maybe even death. And so we are to work always for the preservation of life. And that is true whether you're a family member, a doctor, nurse, pastor, fellow believer in Christ. The role of the Christian is always to work toward preservation of life. And then, of course, the patient has to work at it too. And that means take your medicine, do what you can, shake yourself up, go through the therapies, attend the appointments. And I know that it becomes wearisome and tiresome, but it is the right thing to do, even in the midst of sickness. Now, there's another section in that larger catechism that I don't really have a lot of time to deal with, but I would ask you to read it and study it. It's question 136, what are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? And it says, the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others. And there is very clear instruction what is contained in the sixth commandment. Now also we are to make use of James chapter 5, which is the most practical set of instructions to the Christian in a time of sickness. And if you turn with me to the book of James, follows the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and we'll begin to read at verse 13. And here we see, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? And so James gets right down to the issues of God's people being sick. Now, this is the first century when James wrote this to believers. He's writing to Christians and he's asking them, is any sick among you? Christians get sick. And in the first century, even when there was Pentecost and miracles and, yes, healing by the apostles, yet there were believers in the church that were enduring sickness, just as today believers endure sickness. Now, there are three situations that are set out here in verses 13 and 14. The first is any afflicted? Now, that would be general trials, troubles. Maybe it's injury to the body. Maybe it's a reversal at work, loss of job. Maybe it is some Christian that has been really offended and put down by some ungodly person. And the proper thing for a Christian to do is pray. We're leaning on the Lord. We are looking to Him for our strength and encouragement in affliction. And then it asks, is any merry among you? Well, what a set of instructions we have here. Is any merry among you? Let him sing psalms. We don't pour cold water on rejoicing. When a new baby is born into a home, we rejoice. When someone gets promotion at work or finishes their course of study and begins a new career, we rejoice with them. There's reasons to rejoice. When someone gets saved and born again and going on with God, we rejoice. We do not just be negative, but encourage and praise God for those days and times of blessing. And then the third one comes, is any sick among you? And this is the serious one, and the instructions are more specific, more radical, and calls for more extreme measures. And you'll notice the first part in the instructions that we are to involve the elders of the church. We are to include the spiritual leaders within our church and congregation. And it must be the prayers of faith. We are looking for praying men who can lay hold on God, who can wrestle with God and call upon the God of heaven to intervene and to deliver this person from sickness. Now, why would we do that? Because sickness is such a huge problem. How can we function in our homes, families, workplace, and in the Christian church if we are afflicted by ongoing sickness? And when we do this and we call for spiritual leaders, pastors, elders, those who are praying men, and we call on the Lord, we're seeking to bring God into the equation. We don't rule God out. We seek God's intervention in this situation. Now, why would you call for your pastor or an elder to come alongside in a time of sickness? Because quite often in a time of sickness, we are not capable of praying as we should. And we need the prayers of our fellow caregivers, spiritual caregivers, to come alongside and pray for us. You'll notice that the prayer is very specific, praying over him. Now, in reality, that might be gathering around a hospital bed, holding hands, laying hands on the brow of the person, or praying around the sick bed. And there is the gathering in of the pastor, the elders, the people of God around that person who is sick. And you'll see that there is power in the corporate praying of God's people. And you will see that the leaders of the church should be men of prayer like Elijah. Elijah was a man who prayed and he got answers. He prayed for no rain. There was no rain. He prayed for rain and there was rain. And so God answers prayer. And when we, with bold faith, call upon our pastors and the church to pray, we're glorifying God. We're giving God the glory by coming and delivering and answering in a mighty way. Now, what do we pray for? We pray for the pain to be relieved. That's compassionate. The Lord can intervene to comfort and strengthen the patient. We pray for a calm mind, that the patient who is very distraught, fearful, anxious, is settled and able to rely on the Lord. And that ministry is so invaluable in a time of illness and sickness. And I think of a man that I learned of years ago, that in his time of illness and isolation, he just listened to hymns about the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that ministered to his heart and strengthened his faith. And God drew very near to him. And very often in our illnesses, the Lord's preserving, ministering grace is so real. And the Lord attends. And the Lord pours his grace upon the individual. Now it says here also in James that there's to be the anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there's no reason to think that the phrase is used here to denote any peculiar rite or sacrament. It was done in the name of the Lord. That's all they were doing. And whether this oil was medicinal whether it was symbolic, and I'll give Matthew Henry the last word on this one, and he says it was to be done in the name of the Lord as any other good deed is. And when you give a cup of water in Jesus' name, you in no wise lose your reward. When you give to a fellow believer whatever may help their case, we in no wise lose our reward. And so while we may have different ideas and notions about this oil, the whole idea is we're calling on the Lord and we're asking for His gracious intervention. We also pray that the life be sanctified, that the Lord, through this time of suffering, bring us forth as pure gold. God can make sickness a sanctifying time, a time when we are delivered from worldly, selfish, personal notions, and we get a true focus of living for the glory of God and for eternity. Now, how different this is from euthanasia. How different from calling in maid, this medical assistance in death, to hasten death. That's unbiblical. That's ungodly. That doesn't bring any glory to God. That's denying God. But this is to give God all the glory. And if it is time for God to call the individual home to glory, after all the means, after all the prayers, after all the cries to God, then we do what David did when his little child was taken. He got up, dried up his tears, and he gave God praise and said that this child will not return to him, but he would go to be with that child. And again, there is that surrender to the will of God, what the Lord purposes to do. Now, I'm going to take another 5 minutes here, and I'm thinking of that text, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know the account, it's well known, how Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times for deliverance, and God effectively said, no, Paul, I'm not going to remove the illness. I'm not going to take away the affliction, but I'm going to use it in your life. I'm going to make this the thing by which you will be made stronger. And God does that. God gives us something in the body, a thorn in the flesh, Paul called it. I don't know if that was literal, that he had a real thorn in the flesh. That would be seen with something that he could have been delivered from. But there was some malady, some complaint in the body, and he was not going to be free from it, but God would use it that he would all the more enjoy power in his soul. And if that's the case, the Christian says, amen, I'll endure this that I might bring glory to God all the more. And so in that, we honor the Lord. Now, in times of sickness, we need to keep up our spiritual devotions unto God, because our faith needs to be fed. If we're going to have right thinking, and that's always a problem when you're dealing with pain and sickness, if you've got high fevers and medical problems, very difficult to think straight. And so you need to have reminders of the great truths of God's Word. You may have a very short attention span and sometimes incapable of thinking clearly. Well, then ask someone to read a portion of the Bible to you. Ask someone to help you just to go back to select texts or portions of the Bible that will minister to your heart. Call on your pastor. And again, this is the reason why we're to call on the pastor or the elders of the church, that they will minister the Word of God and in prayer unto you. Because your faith needs strengthening, and your mind is weak, and you need that extra help. It's just someone coming alongside, helping you in your time of need. Now, I come back to James 5:16 that says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. There's the will of God, that you may be healed. And it is a time to see that we put away any faults. If we have done wrong, if we have offended someone, put it right. But the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Here's a little poem. It says, prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. And in your sickness, God may be pruning you, or he may be polishing you, so that you come through this as a freshly polished jewel to shine for the Savior and bring more and more glory unto him. And it's always wise to accept the gentle rebukes of the Lord. And when the Lord is striving with you or correcting you, you look to him for fresh mercy. And the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. The one whom Jesus loved was sick. We read that of Lazarus. And so we can have the Lord's love and the Lord's ministry of grace even in the midst of that sickness. When we think of those who are suffering tonight from COVID-19, let us remember to pray for them. I just got the news today of some in our churches that have been struck with COVID-19. I regret the suffering that that brings. I hate to see my fellow brothers and sisters go through the trial of fighting against this coronavirus. And it's a funny virus. It does different things to different people. And some have minor health problems, some have major health problems, and some die from it, not even the elderly. And I was looking at a chart where really the extreme age is 65 on up. So if you're in your early years, it may hit you, but it will not take your life so much. It can. There have been cases of people of younger years who have died from this virus. But the statistics show that from age 65 climbing up, and certainly above 75, it can be very fatal. And so we need to pray for the elderly. We need to remember the elderly. We need to shelter the elderly, that we don't put them at risk. We need to shelter all in our congregation and in our communities, that we do not put them at risk in any way, but always work for preservation of life. And the Lord hears those prayers, and the Lord is glorified in answering those prayers. And so what do we do in illness? How do we glorify the Lord? I hope that these pointers tonight will help you, and that you will not fall into the trap of the Christian Science denying it, not fall into the trap of those who say healing's in the atonement, Christians shouldn't get sick, and of course, attend to those things that God has ordained for the preservation of life and for the restoration of good health to our bodies. Now, of course, the great thing is the salvation of our souls, and that is above all. And you could have 100 years of perfect bodily health and strength, but when you die, end up in hell. The gospel is good news that Jesus gives eternal life. And even though you die early in life, you are assured of eternal life. That's the hope, the gospel hope, that we want every man and woman, boy and girl to have. May the Lord watch over you and your family, and indeed our whole congregation at this time of concern. Amen. Let's unite in prayer.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. What a wonderful thing that we have the Lord who cares for us in every time of need, in health and in sickness. And so the Lord has taught us in His Word what we ought to do. And we should seek the remedy. We should pray and cry to the Lord for His blessing upon those treatments, that He may raise us to health and strength according to His will, and that we may glorify Him here on the earth. Please join with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to guide us in these things. Father, we praise Thee today for the light of Your Word and for the simple, clear guidance that You give us what to do in a time of sickness. We've got to realize that Thou art the great healer, the creator of the body, the preserver of the body, who giveth us the very breath that we breathe and the health that we enjoy. And so we look to Thee to remember our brothers and sisters in their time of sickness. O Lord, we pray for Your healing, and we pray that You may lead them to the right diagnosis and to the right remedies, that they may be healed. And so we put our trust and our confidence in Thy great name in our times of need. And so we pray that You will bless Your people and draw near to them in Your loving kindness. We thank Thee that Thou art the great physician, the physician of our souls also, that there is mercy, pardon, forgiveness, and the assurance of Your wonderful love. We do thank Thee for each one who rejoices in Your salvation, in the blessed assurance that their sins are forgiven and they have peace with God. We ask Thee to draw near and strengthen us in these times as we seek to live more and more unto the Lord and to glorify Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.